Why is it that those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution? Well, whosoever, listen, brothers and sisters, listen good. Whosoever resists temptation to sin will arouse the wrath of Satan. Our subject this morning is death before dishonor. But our subtitle is no compromise with sin. There can be no compromise with sin, brothers and sisters, because sin is deadly. The spirit of prophecy lets us know that sin is an intruder. Is a what? For whose presence no reason can be given. It says, it is mysterious, unaccountable. To excuse it is to defend it. Do we want to defend sin this morning? It says, could excuse for it be found or cause be shown for its existence, it would cease to be sin. Great Controversy, page 492. But when we look at sin, sin always does what? Disguise itself. Let me give you an example. How many of you in here like orange juice? If I gave you a glass of orange juice and put one drop, just one, of cyanide poison in it, would you drink it? Why? Because it would kill you, right? Just one drop. You think one drop would hurt you in a full 8-ounce glass of orange juice? That's all it takes. The same principle applies to sin. All it takes is to fall under the temptation of sin one time, and it can kill you for eternity. The Bible gives us only one definition for sin. Who knows where it's found? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Let's turn there. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Only one definition, brothers and sisters, God has given us in the Word of God of what sin means. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Are we there? The Bible reads, whosoever does what? Transgresseth also the law. For sin is what? The transgression of the law. So where did it begin? You say Eden? Eden? It actually started in heaven. And who did it start with? It started with Lucifer. And what is the root cause of its beginning? Say it again, brother.
Selfishness.
The root cause of sin in heaven started with selfishness. Listen to this statement. It says, little by little, Lucifer came to indulge the desire for self-exaltation. It started with selfishness. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 17, it says, "Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." So Satan was lifted up because of his beauty. Do everyone has a handout? Look at number one on your handout this morning. Number one, it says, "The sin which is indulged to the greatest extent and which separates us from God and produces," listen good, "so many contagious spiritual disorders is what?" Is selfishness. There can be no returning to the Lord except by what? Self-denial. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, that whosoever will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and do what? Follow him. So that's going to have to be some what in our lives? Self-denial. Now, that quotation says that selfishness produces many contagious spiritual disorders. Let's look at some of those spiritual disorders that selfishness causes. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Spiritual disorders, brothers and sisters. Proverbs chapter 6, starting with verse 16. These are some of those spiritual disorders that selfishness causes. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, the Bible reads, "These six things do the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look." What did it say about Satan? "Thy heart was lifted up because of what?" Thy beauty. A lying tongue. Did not Satan begin to cause discord by his lies in heaven? Hands that shed innocent blood. Satan was the one who moved up on Cain to kill his brother. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Satan says, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." How is it that you're going to exalt your throne above God's throne? That is a heart that devises wicked imagination, because it can't what? Happen. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These are considered an abomination to God. And all these are produced from what? Selfishness. What is God trying to do for his children, brothers and sisters? He is trying to weed out selfishness in our hearts. I call them the seven devils, because they are spiritual disorders. Look at number two on your handout. The Bible says, Whenever, through faith in the Lamb of God, a soul renounces the service of sin, Satan's wrath is kindled. The holy life of Abel testified against Satan's claim that it is impossible for man to do what? Keep God's law. When Cain saw that he could not control Abel, he was so enraged that he destroyed his life. And wherever any stand in vindication of the law of God, the same spirit will be manifest. But every martyr of Christ has died a conqueror. So we see, whenever Satan says that no man is able to keep God's law, but God says that he is able to do what? Keep us from what? Falling. So who are we going to believe? Satan or God? Can God give you the victory this morning? Do you believe it? Listen to what God tells us. Turn with me to John. John chapter 16 and verse 33. John chapter 33. I'm sorry. John chapter 16 and verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. Okay, we only got one preacher here today. John chapter 16 and verse 33. All right, all right. Praise the Lord. Now all attention is back on this preacher. All right. John chapter 16, verse 33, the Bible says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have what? In the world ye shall have what?" But the scripture tells us to do what? "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So this morning, brothers and sisters, Jesus is trying to encourage us that we can overcome. He's trying to encourage us that we can get the victory. Listen to this statement here. It says, "By passing over the ground which man must travel, our Lord has prepared the way for us to overcome." Did you hear that? It says, "It is not his will that we should be placed at a disadvantage in the conflict with Satan." It is not God's will that we should be at a disadvantage. It also says, "He would not have us intimidated and discouraged by the assaults of the serpent." Did you hear that? None of us should be intimidated by Satan's assaults. And I was just talking to my brother Ralph last night, and we were just talking about this very thing. When Satan comes up and begins to attack us, what do, Ralph? We ask Jesus for help. We immediately go to the Savior. And we're not discouraged because of the trials and tribulations that we go to. Because Jesus says, "In the world ye shall have what? Tribulations." But he says, "Be of good cheer. He has done what? brothers and sisters, we don't realize the power that we have. Me and my wife was doing our devotion the other day, and my wife said to me, it was on Daniel. When Daniel went to the king, let me back up. When the king announced that all the wise men should be killed, and Arioch came to Daniel, and Daniel asked Arioch to take him to the king so that he can ask for what? A little more time. Now, Daniel had so much confidence in his God that he was willing to go in the presence of the king and ask for more time and knew that God would answer. Do we have that type of confidence in our God? That's the question each one of you have to ask. Do we have that type of confidence that whatever trial or difficulty we come upon, we know that God will give us an answer? I had to ponder on that thing. And God has given me and my wife tremendous evidence that he hears and answers our prayers. And I'm sure he has done the same for each and every one of you here. So do we have that type of confidence that our God will bless us and help us out of any trial or difficulty? Look at number three on your handout. The spirit of prophecy says, the Lord will help all who will do their best, walking humbly with God. Let us be encouraged in believing that we have a mighty arm to lean upon, and that so long as we rely on Christ's strength, we cannot dishonor God. We are on what? We are on trial now. But under every test, let us make it manifest to all around us that we are on whose side? That we are on the Lord's side. Brothers and sisters, every one of you sitting here today has been chosen. Did you know that? You're not just here by happenstance. God has chosen every soul that is sitting here this morning. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I'm sorry. John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 16, one book over. Listen to what God says. John chapter 15, verse 16. It says, ye have not what? But I have done what? And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth what? And that your fruit should remain, that whosoever, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may what? He may give it you. You know, the reason why we're struggling or we may not be bearing fruit is because we won't ask. God says ask. If you want to win a soul for Christ, ask. Just ask. And God will place someone in your path. Is that right, Miss April? He wants to do that for every one of us. Remember, brothers and sisters, there will not be not one starless crown where? Every one of us will have at least one star on our crown. Someone that we were instrumental in winning to Christ. Now, if you only want just one star, or do you want to have a crown of many stars? You're not sure? You just want the crown, huh? Okay, you got to have a star, brother. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. All right. Let us go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Paul encourages us in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Looking at verse 33. In Romans chapter 8, verse 33. It says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh what?" So Jesus is interceding in our behalf right now, brothers and sisters. Verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" What are you going to allow to separate you from Christ? It says, "Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Verse 36, "It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as what? Sheep for the slaughter." Remember now, our reading was, "Yea, all that shall live godly in Christ shall do what? Suffer persecution." It says, verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than what? Through him that love us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." In other words, we need to make sure this morning that we have a made up mind. In order to accomplish these things, we just read what Paul has just introduced to us. You have to have a made up mind that you are willing to stand for Christ. Do you have a made up mind? Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. Listen to what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. There is not going to be any excuse for anyone here this morning to leave here not having confidence that God is able to give them the victory. I'm giving you God's word this morning. And every scripture I'm giving you is to encourage you that we are able to overcome. Listen to what the Bible says. It says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, "And he that do what? And keepeth my what? And to the end." We have to endure to what? The end. "To him will I give" what? "Power over the nations." God is able to give us power over the nations. And nations are made up of what? People. So is God able to give you power over Tullahoma? Manchester. Shelbyville. Is he able? "Increase my territory, Lord." Is he able? Do we have any examples that God has given men in the Bible power over the nations? We have plenty of them, don't we? I think of Joseph refusing to be tempted into sin. And because of that, he was thrown into prison because he refused to commit adultery. But because of his steadfastness and the test that he endured, God turned the tides around and made him the second in charge of the most powerful nation at that time, Egypt. I think of the three Hebrew worthies who refused to eat the king's meat, willing to suffer death, and because of going through the Babylonian school system, they came out unscathed, and the king saw them three times wiser than his own people. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. 10 times wiser than his own people. And they were placed in charge. Our God does some remarkable things in our behalf, brothers and sisters. Now, this next individual, how many remember Mordecai in Persia? Now, we're gonna ponder on this here, because what Mordecai did is an example of what God's people are about to experience in the last days. Turn with me to Esther. Esther chapter 3. In the book of Esther, Esther chapter 3. Starting with verse 2. Are we there? Esther chapter 3, starting with verse 2. It says, "And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced who? For the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him," what's that? "Reverence." "Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's command? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a" what? "A Jew." Now that's interesting, brothers and sisters. When you begin to stand for Christ, and when the heat is about to be turned up, there are going to be those in your spirit going to try to encourage you to go according to the laws of the land. Why are you going against the laws of the land? But what is God's people to do? If the laws of the land goes against the law of, we are to honor who? Rather than, do you see it? So do you see why Mordecai refused to bow? Because the Bible lets us know that we are not to show that type of reverence to any what? Any man. Verse 5, "And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of" what? Verse 6, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy" what? "All the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai." Verse 8. "And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the province of thy kingdom. And their" what? "And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit To do what? To suffer them. Verse 14. The copy of the writings for a commandment to be given in every province was published into all people, that they should be ready against that day. That day to do what? To destroy who? The Jews. Verse 15. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan, the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. So a decree, a law, had went out that at a certain time that they were to go out and to kill the Jews. Now, look at number 4 on your handout. I want you to ponder on this, brothers and sisters. Number 4 on your handout. Listen to what it says. It says, as the Sabbath has become the special point of what? Controversy throughout Christendom, and religious and secular authorities have combined to enforce the observance of the Sunday, the persistent refusal of a small minority to yield to the popular demand will make them objects of what? Universal excretion. It will be urged that the few who stand in opposition to an institution of the church in a law of the state ought not to be tolerated. That it is better for them to suffer than for whole nations to be thrown into what? Confusion and lawlessness. The same argument many centuries ago was brought against Christ by the rulers of the people. It is expedient for us, said the wily Caiaphas, that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. This argument will appear conclusive in a decree. What's a decree? Will finally be issued against those who hollow the what? Of the fourth commandment, denouncing them as deserving of the severest punishment and giving the people liberty after a certain time to put them to death. Does that sound familiar? The same story is being what? Repeated. The same story. But we know the end of the story in Esther. Did God overturn it? Will God overturn it for us? The only way God is going to overturn it for us, we must be what? We must be ready, but we must be faithful to him that what? Overcometh. That's going to have to be some overcoming. God told us that we're going to go through tribulations, but be of good cheer. He has done what? So we're going to have to do some overcoming. But as we see the story in Esther, the same story will apply because God is the same what? Yesterday, today, and what? It says, Romanism in the old world and apostate Protestantism in the new will pursue a similar course toward those who honor all the divine precepts. So are you sure that you want to continue to be a member of the remnant church? Because to be a member of this church and to be faithful, you're going to go through something. So Jesus is asking us this morning to count the cost. Count the cost. Jesus had to go through a horrific ordeal and able to redeem us. So do you think we're just going to skip into heaven? It's not going to happen. But he told us that if we are faithful, he will give us the victory. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. We're almost done, brothers and sisters. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. Listen to what Jesus says. Brothers and sisters, I want you to leave here encouraged this morning. Encouraged. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21, the Bible tells us, to him that do what? Will I grant to do what? Sit with me in my throne. Now, I think Zach sung today, when we all get to what? What a day of what? That will be, right? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. How was it that Jesus was able to sit with his Father at his throne? Well, he's sitting with his Father in his throne. He says he had to do what? Overcome. Let's look at number three on our handout. Three, four, I done lost count. Five, praise the Lord. It says here, when trials come to us, listen good, brothers and sisters. When trial comes to us, let us not dwell upon the greatness of the difficulties and feel that we cannot have joy in the Lord. It is true, we will have changes of feelings. There will come to us times of discouragement and depression, but shall we live by feelings or by faith? When our brethren and friends speak unadvisedly and cause us grief, let us not be cast down. Let us remember that we are in the world of trial and grief, of sorrow and disappointment. When these experiences come to us, they shall drive us to who? Praise the Lord. If they do not, but if they do not, we meet with what? Do we want to meet with loss? So when we're going through trials and difficulties, let us run to Jesus. You know, it reminds me when I was a child. And all the neighborhood kids used to go to school together. And there were some that were older than us that went to the same school. They were eighth graders and we were third graders. And I remember this bully that always wanted to try to jump on me. And he said, "We wait till we get outside for recess." He said, "I'm going to get you." And as soon as that bell rang and recess started, I knew where the big kids hung out at. So I would make a beeline straight to them. And he would be running behind me. But when the older kids in my neighborhood that knew me saw me coming, they stood in the way. And he would make a beeline stop right there. And I'm standing behind them saying, "Come on." Do you think I was going to leave their presence? Not at all. So the same applies here, brothers and sisters. We have an elder brother that long as we stand behind him, we are what? Safe. I do not want to experience any of Satan's fiery darts, do you? Because they are deadly. It says here, but shall we live by feeling or by faith? When our brethren and friends speak unadvisedly, I did read that already, but it bears repeating, and cause us grief, let us not be cast down. Let us remember that we are in a world of trial and grief, of sorrow and disappointment. When these experiences come to us, they should drive us to Christ. If they do not, we meet with loss. Christ came to our world and took humanity that he might bear the afflictions that humanity must bear and be an example of faithful in what? Under every form of trial. Did you get the lesson? It says, God wants us to realize that we are a part of the great human family and that we must bear its what? Test. So everything we're going through, brothers and sisters, is a what? A test preparing us for what? And then when we, preparing us for what? Heaven. And when we get to heaven, we are told that we will say, well, Sister White says, that heaven is cheap enough. We will not remember none of the experiences we have gone through. In closing, brothers and sisters, let us go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And verse 11, our scripture reading today, the Bible lets us know that, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of whose testimony? Your testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. God is trying to get this worldliness out of us, so that we would not have a love for this world, but we would have a love for our heavenly home and to win as many souls as possible. Are you up for the challenge? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for your word this morning. Amen. We thank you for the encouragement you have given to each and every one of us that we are more than conquerors through Christ. Let us continue to stay and stand behind our elder brother who will protect us from all principalities and powers. Please, Father, I have done what you have asked me to do. Now do what I can't do and impress and touch on the hearts of those who sit here this morning that they may be encouraged to leave this place, to walk in a newness of life, and that they may honor and glorify your precious name. And we thank you, and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.